Okay, a very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Sunday, 11th September 2022. Also happened to be a 9-1-1. So we are having our this Sunday class. We'll be going through this new book, the 54th lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. So this one is when we were going through the Liu Chu Tan Jing. We are at the 54th lesson. Then they did a transcript out of it. So this transcript is based on my sharing. So we will go through it after. In the meantime, as usual, we shall have our puja. Let us compose our mind, develop our faith, and mindfully, we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Sư Hình Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Hình Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Hình Bồ Tát. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Namo A Di Đà Phật. Nam mô A Di Đà Phật. Nam mô 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 Bổn Sư Bồ Tát. Nam mô Bổn Sư Bồ Tát. Nam mô Bổn Sư Bồ Tát. Nam mô Địa Tạng Vương Bồ Tát. Nam mô Địa Tạng Vương Bồ Tát. Nam mô Địa Tạng Vương Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phật Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phật Bồ Tát. Nam mô Phật Bồ Tát. Arahaṃ sammasaṃ buddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svākhāto bhagavatā dhammo Dhammang namassami. Suppatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Namo attassa bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadanaveeramanisikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veeramanisikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veeramanisikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Pajam. Padang Pajami. Dhammang pacayami. Sangham pacayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Let us now turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We are doing the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which is heaven released, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang munirajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadaṃ dhammasavanaṃ kalo ayaṃ padantā dhammasavanaṃ kalo ayaṃ padantā dhammasavanaṃ kalo ayaṃ padantā Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Iti beso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manosanang buddha Do Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabho Venohiti Supatipanno bhagavato saukasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato saukasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato saukasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato saukasango Yadidang chattari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato saukasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkineyo anjali karaneyo anutarang punyang ketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax body and mind and maintain some more attention. Then we will continue with this new book, 54th lesson of the Sixth Patriarch Platform Sutta. This book is based on a direct transcript from the recording of my 54th lesson of the Sixth Patriarch Platform Talk dated 13 August 2017, conducted by me at Wu Pingjingse, the Mahayana Buddhist Vihara in Section 11. Okay, we'll go to the preface. I will read to you the preface so that you understand. Oh, sorry, there's a content page also. The content page, this is the number one as the preface, which I will go through. Then number two is acknowledgement. Then number three is the lesson proper, where we start with the puja, like just now. Then Dhamma sharing by me. Then there are subheadings, understanding Mahayana and Theravada tradition, followed by the six Vajra Sutra proper. Okay, we can quickly go through the bio data so that you all can be reminded of what this bio data of mine is. Brad Teo graduated from the University of Malaya in civil engineering in 1979. He has been a spiritual practitioner cum meditator since 1971. Since his retirement in 2001 from his engineering career, he has been sharing his understanding and experiences with those who are keen in their search for true happiness, peace, and liberation from birth and death and all mental suffering, so that they can be a blessing to all of humanity. They are becoming a more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human being. He gives Dhamma talk and holds meditation classes and retreats and weekly Dhamma classes at various meditation centers, Buddhist society, and places that invite him. For more detail of Ratio's Dhamma activity and his Kayamitaship grouping, please sign on to his recently launched Dhamma website at http://brotio.com. Okay, next one is preface. It is Brotio's sincere wish that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, and cultivators of the way will be able to make use of these enclosed Dhamma transcript notes to develop a better understanding of the Buddha Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human being that can be a blessing to all of humanity and the world. As these notes were mostly compiled based on a direct transcript from the recordings of the 54th lesson of the Six Vajra Platform Sutta class dated 13 August 2017. The text is aligned as closely as possible to his colloquial speech in the talk. However, some editorial amendments have been made to the text without distracting from essence of the talk where necessary. With this, it is hoped that the reader can adjust themselves accordingly to better understand its true meaning and intent. A good way to do this is to listen to the recording first before reading the transcript book. To listen to the recording, the audio file, you can log on to the link below or log on to the website under repository of Dhamma materials or Google Brotio's Kayamita and go to a repository of Dhamma material to view them, or alternatively download the audio file via the below MP3 link. Okay. Acknowledgement. It is the donor's sincere intention that this Dhamma transcript book be given free to those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends or Kayamita who had donated and helped out in the transcription, typing, typesetting, formatting, proofreading, etc., to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister Puan Chi, who had taken the initiative to develop the draft transcript for my subsequent editing, thereby enabling this Dhamma transcript book to be printed. By the power of all this wholesomeness, May all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering and dangers. And may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dharma friends who have donated or helped in one way or other to realize their good and noble wishes or aspiration soon as possible. May metta always relative. Okay, we go on. Now is section 3, which is the 54th lesson of the Sixth Patriarch Platform Sutta proper. Today is our 54th lesson of the Sixth Patriarch Platform Sutta, dated 13 August 2017, at Wuping Singsa Mahayana Vihara. Let us now compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. So this one is the same one, we can skip it. We started off with the salutation in the Mahayana tradition, followed by the Theravada tradition. Okay, then after that, we continue, 3.2. Dhamma sharing by Bradio. Okay, you all can be seated. Miss Lee, have you on the recorder? Because sometimes they forgot that the recording was not done. Okay, then just relax body and mind. Maintain some form of attention. Then we can commence or start our lesson 54 of the Sixth Patriarch Platform Sutta. Let us turn to page 1, verse for opening a sutra, the Master Xuanhua's version. Verse for opening a sutra. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of eons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. So this opening verse is very important. It shows how rare this teaching is. And when you have the condition, the causes and condition to be born a human being during the sasana period and to have the opportunity to encounter it, this is truly great blessings. Then you must cherish it, value it, and make use of it. Okay. 3.2.1. Understanding Mahayana and Theravada tradition. Now turn to page 272. That one is the text, the Xuanhua's Sixth Patriarch Platform Sutta text. Before we go into the sutra proper, there is something important that I would like to share with you all so that you all may understand the deep meaning and develop the understanding. You see, nowadays there are a lot of controversies between Theravada and Mahayana practitioners because of some lack of understanding among their cultivators and Dhamma practitioners. This misunderstanding is mainly due to the division created by those who have not developed the true understanding of the teaching. As I have explained before, the Buddha Dharma are truths taught by the Buddha. His teaching is essentially the Dhamma, which are truth. That's the reason why we take refuge in the Buddha and the Dhamma, which is his teaching, and the Sangha, which are the enlightened disciples of the Buddha. When you take refuge in the teaching, it means you take refuge in the Dhamma, which is truth itself. And this truth points towards enlightenment, as per our earlier discussion. The scripture, the Dhamma, is not the truth or enlightenment. But these are truths that points towards enlightenment. If you understand its meaning, then you can just cultivate accordingly to the teaching to realize the enlightenment. After that, After you have realized the enlightenment, there is no more division. Because basically what the Buddha taught is just the Dhamma or truth, and truth is. The essence of the Buddhist teaching is just the Four Noble Truths, which are common to all tradition, whether it's Theravada, Mahayana, or Vajrayana. But some vehicles expanded on their teaching. There were people who cannot follow or don't understand, or within their limited understanding, or with their limited understanding, they like to comment from their own limited point of views. That's how it can lead to complication or misunderstanding. But sometimes when the followers of the other tradition or vehicle expand and share those teachings, they don't have deep enough understanding. What they share may sometimes deviate from the truth, but basically they come from the same teaching, which is the Dhamma. How they expand from their teaching is to me not the issue. The main issue is, do you understand the core teachings? When you understand the core teaching or the main teaching, whatever the vehicle, you can understand how they come about and whether the commentaries of those that have been shared are the truth or not. Without your own cultivation and your own ability to investigate into all this through an understanding, there is no way you can understand them. So focus on the cultivation to realize the Dhamma first. That is more important rather than holding on to your views and opinion to create the division, unnecessary argument and misunderstanding, always trying to be right and to be protective of your particular vehicle that you are associated with. This is how the mind can create division and misunderstanding, leading to unnecessary conflict, arguments, and the egoic mind. The egoistic mind that does this is the mind that has delusion, self-delusion, sakrality. This understanding can only come through realization of the Dhamma. In order to avoid such unnecessary misunderstanding, I make it a point that wherever I go, depending on the way place we are in, I will approach it initially from the Theravada tradition, where most English educated students or practitioners of Dhamma find it very difficult to learn Mahayana teaching. Mahayana teaching is normally taught to Mandarin or to Mandarin educated people. And without an understanding of Mandarin, it's usually very difficult to comprehend Mahayana teaching. Sometimes it can be comprehended, but it's very difficult or very rare. That is the reason why the English educated are mostly with the Theravada tradition. But it doesn't mean that all English educators are with the Theravada tradition. There are quite a number of Mandarin educated ones who are quite strongly associated with Theravada Buddhism too, but they feel that its teaching is more authentic. You will also come to understand that throughout my years of sharing, I prefer to blend and integrate both Theravada and Mahayana teachings together into one common tradition of the Buddha. Because both traditions have their pros and cons, and you understand they complement each other beautifully. Theravada tradition is the teachings of the elders. That's why it's called the Theras. Theras are the elders, those with more than 20 years of ordination. So they are called the vehicle of the Theras or the elders. But originally, when it started, they called it Hinayana, the smaller vehicle of the Orthodox tradition. Orthodox means they limit their teachings to what is recorded and what they believe to be the original teaching. Whatever outside of it, they just refuse to take it in. and they just chop it off. Like what I have explained before, there are pros and cons in what they do. Theravada teaching has its very beautiful advantage in the sense that it preserves the original teaching. And this original teaching that was preserved is very authentic. Whereas the Pali chanting, these are the words that came from the Buddha direct. Like our Puja chanting, salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, the Sangha, etc. It has never changed. The taking of the refuge, the renewing of the precepts and the importance of precepts, all these have never changed. Then the Pali chanting of the Dhamma Chakapavattana, the various other sutta like the fire sermon has never changed. But they were passed down over the years we are chanting. Chanting is a very good way of preserving the authenticity of the teaching. But the problem with the Theravada tradition is as the year goes by, after the enlightenment of the Buddha, all this explanation of the teaching or the sutta get defiled or are no longer the true interpretation of the actual authentic teaching as taught by the Buddha. That's why they lost their potency to awaken living beings. Unless you have developed the cultivation from the past, or you have been diligent with your cultivation and practices, then you may understand, you may develop the understanding. Otherwise, most of the cultivators find it very difficult to understand the teaching because most of these teachings are based on the translation, which were only committed into writing many hundreds of years later, after the Buddha's passing away of Parinibbana. Then after they were committed to writing, this writing again was subject to interpretation or explanation by the translator before they call them commentaries. After all these commentaries came out, the main problem is there are many versions of the commentaries. Then different teachers, different monks started to teach it differently. That's how it had ended up this way. It's no longer the authentic teaching. Finally, it ends up with all the various methods and techniques of meditation of different teachers with their various views and opinions of the teaching. Then when it comes to Mahayana, it's the same. There are pros and cons too. The Mahayana, for the Mahayana, the advantage is later on as they were able to expand on the teaching, because they have great beings like Hui Ning, the sixth patriarch, and the various other patriarchs, including Bodhidharma, the fifth patriarch, and many others. They were all very good. They all have their understanding. That's why their teachings are very different. They expanded on it, and many cultivators of the way benefited from it. And those who have cultivated this way before, they will understand. And this particular vehicle was able to expand on all this is because within their vehicle, there are many, many other great beings, the Buddhas and Mahasattva or Bodhisattvas. Most of them are very special beings with great perfection and understanding. That's how the teaching gets expanded. But the shortcoming and disadvantage of Mahayana is too much emphasis on the higher teaching. They like to talk about the various very profound Mahayana teaching. They even have the Surangama Sutta, the Heart Sutta, then the Diamond Sutta and various type of Lotus Sutras. And all these teachings are very abstract and very difficult for normal practitioners to understand. And because of that, the Theravada vehicle followers find it very difficult to accept the Mahayana teaching because a lot of their teaching appear very controversial. Like it's completely opposite of what the normal mind can comprehend or understand. Especially the Heart Sutra's teaching. It is mentioned in the Heart Sutta that form being empty. So form itself is emptiness, and emptiness itself is form. And form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. All this, they find it very abstract, very difficult to understand and comprehend. Then they started to comment, we are saying that this was never taught in the Theravada tradition. These were things that came later. It may not be the authentic teaching, etc. But then if you check the Theravada Sutta, they have such word as sunyata. Sunyata is emptiness, but it was never elaborated on because this term is seldom used by the Theravadas to teach or to share. But that word does exist in their teachings. What they are more familiar with is anatta. In actual fact, if you penetrate anatta, you will also penetrate sunyata. There is no difference. In fact, understanding anatta is a very beautiful awakening in a term that the Buddha used so beautifully in the Theravada tradition. It's from the understanding of anatta that allow ones to understand sunyata. Without realizing anatta, one cannot understand sunyata. Sunyata means emptiness, but this emptiness is very profound. The meaning is very deep. It doesn't mean nothingness. It doesn't mean empty of everything. No. Its deep meaning is empty nature of existence. Ultimately, it's not so real. Not what you think. It's empty of essence. Empty of a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling on to, or you tend to cling on to, grasp on to, hold on to, and say, this is me. This is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. When it comes to this type of understanding, you need to awaken to it. Otherwise, you cannot understand. My nature is not interested in whether it's Theravada or Mahayana tradition. We are these are divisions created by living beings and cultivators who don't have the clear understanding. What is more important is we need to do away with all this division and come together as followers of the Buddhas, traditional devotees of the Buddha, to cultivate his teaching. We are not creating such unnecessary division. But society is such, and there's a reason why when you see me coming to Wubing Qingshe, which is a Mahayana Vihara, started by Miss Lee's teacher, Bo Yan Zhang Lao, to teach or share the Dhamma. My opening puja was start off with the Mahayana tradition salutation first, then followed by the Theravada tradition's puja chanting. We pay respect to our original teacher, Sakyamuni Buddha. We are chanting Namo Bun Si Si Jia Muni Fo, followed by Kuan Yin, because Kuan Yin's nature is very beautiful, unique, full of love, compassion, and wisdom. And she is also very well respected in the Mahayana tradition. And even in this temple, Wubing Qingshe, you look at the statue behind, which is more prominent, Kuan Yin or Sakyamuni. Sakyamuni is more prominent, isn't it? You have a full Kuan Yin statue, whereas Sakyamuni is only one poster at the back. That's why we recite Namo Bun Si Si Jia Muni Fo, followed by Namo Kuan Si Yin Pusa. Because a lot of our Kayamita have great affinity with Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. And Kuan Yin is a very beautiful and unique being, full of love, full of compassion and wisdom. Po Yan Zhang Lao was the direct descendant of Master Xu Yin. Master Xu Yin was very famous, even Master Xuan Huang. 云城观法师，法师，云城啊，云城 ，I don't know how to pronounce it in Mandarin, but the English translation is 远正啊，法师。And many other Mahayana great masters, they were all his first line disciples, and they came from that tradition of Master Xu Yun. We need to understand all this in order to avoid controversial arguments and misunderstanding. After I have chanted the salutation, which include the final salutation to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, I then combine it with those of the Theravada tradition and chant the salutation to all the Buddha, is in the Pali version. That's why we chant Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. The meaning is, this is salutation to all the Buddhas. Then the second one is salutation to the Dhamma or the teaching, which we chant as Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo, etc. Then the third salutation is a salutation to the Sangha, Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho, then Sangham Namami. That is to remind us of the original authentic Pali chanting of the Theravada tradition. Then we continue with our taking our refuge and renewal of precepts and paying our respect to the Triple Gem. This way, we can do away with tradition, meaning from one tradition, we move on to connect to the next. Then after that, we study whatever sutta that have the authentic teachings. In fact, whatever Mahayana sutras that have the authentic teaching. Oh, sorry, I read again. Never mind. This way we can do away with tradition, meaning from one tradition we move on to connect to the next. And after that we study whatever sutra that have the authentic teaching. In fact, whatever Mahayana sutra that cannot be explained through the Theravada, through the Theravada understanding, is not the authentic sutra. That one is true. And that itself is a very important point to note and to understand. You cannot explain it through the Theravada sutra or understanding, then the sutra is not the authentic Mahayana sutra. When I mention this, I don't mean the limited understanding of a traditional Theravada practitioner. And I hope you understand. What I mean is a real practitioner. You can call yourself Theravada or whatever. But after that, so-called being, the form and mind, has the realization, he will be able to comprehend the Mahayana teaching. There is no difference. Because basically, it's from the same Dhamma that those teachings come about. That's why if you see or look at the Diamond Sutta, is very clearly explained. The Diamond Sutta is a very unique sutta. There are, I don't know how many chapters. I think 30 something, maybe 32 chapters or what. If you go through the teachings, you will realize one rather unique thing. There is no real teaching in the sutta. The Diamond Sutta only explains to you how you should develop the cultivation. Your cultivation must reach the level of realization, because this is the sutra that explains the cultivation of great beings, the Bodhisattva cultivation. That's why it points towards the cultivation of Noma, Noma of a self-cultivating, Noma of living being, the same, Noma of life, Noma of Dhamma. And this is also what our sutta teaches. In true emptiness, there is none of us, or none of all this. So essentially and basically, the teachings are the same, except that it explains to you many things that are associated with this type of cultivation. And that sutta is so beautiful, even though there is no real teaching. But for those who understand, they can expound it to you, the teaching hidden behind. How all this cultivation can bring about the understanding leading to those realizations. For those who have attended the classes before, they will know that the Diamond Sutra we have covered is so unique and wonderful. When you cultivate according to that sutta, the field of merits is completely different, way beyond your capacity to comprehend. When you cultivate the normal sainthood way and the Diamond Sutra way, is world of a difference. Completely, very, very different. That's the reason why the 10 perfections of paramitas to realize Samasambuddhahood must be perfected. In order to fulfill the perfection, you have to cultivate the following. Sorry, you have to cultivate following the Diamond Sutra's teaching. Without that, there is no way you can realize or fulfill it. But the moment you have the understanding and cultivation, according to the Diamond Sutra, your natures become very different. It can leapfrog and develop the perfection very fast. Then you will start to understand why you have to commit yourself to the four basic vows of the Bodhisattvas, to walk the Bodhisattva way. Then why you need to keep the three sets of pure precepts, which arise from the advice of the Buddha. And all this will become very clear to the cultivator of the way and the practitioner. Okay, I hope the above sharing can help clear up any misunderstanding so that we don't have to worry about whether the teaching is Theravada or Mahayana. Don't try to create unnecessary division or argument leading to further misunderstanding. With that, you can, as per my earlier advice, make full use of whatever traditions good teaching to help you develop the understanding. Whatever you cannot understand, just have an open mind. Don't use your limited knowledge to comment or argue and do things which may lead to coming negativity without you knowing it. So hopefully with this, when people ask about the two teachings again, you can just say, never mind, there is no difference if you truly understand. Because both teachings, they came from the same teaching. So let us not discuss all this anymore. What is more important is whether the teaching from both traditions can benefit you or not. If they can benefit you, use it. Why do you want to argue? Why do you want to create doubt out of it? Please don't. In fact, the best way is to take the best from both traditions. What is weak on the Mahayana side, which I had explained to you all, is they teach you mainly the higher teachings, the abstract sutta, the other abstract Zen saying and analogies, like the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta's famous poem, then the analogy of the flag and the wind, and many other Zen story. But what they lack is the foundation teaching, the essence of the Buddha's teaching, which is the Four Noble Truths, and its spin-off essential teaching or essential Dhamma. That one, not to say Mahayana doesn't have, they have, but not emphasized or stressed upon, not dwelled into, and not properly taught. If you don't believe me, you can go to any Mahayana temple and find out for yourself. See what you learn. The first thing they ask you to do is sweep floor, clean toilet, do all the worldly things, then help out everywhere. If you don't have the patience and the understanding, you may find it boring, because you cannot understand what is going on. Then every day, chanting, chanting, chanting. Then once in a while, they have sutra classes. But these sutra classes are very difficult to understand. That's why I have a lot of Dhamma friends who later on came and talked to me on this. They were Mandarin educated, hence reason why they joined Mahayana tradition. But when they were there, they couldn't understand the true teaching, not even the basic teaching. But after attending my class or talking to me through having meals with me, which can be lunch or dinner or even breakfast or even they call it supper, just through talking or sometimes listening to the Dhamma sharing, they learn so much. Oh, they say these are relevant teachings that can allow them to relate to life, and yet they cannot learn it when they are with the Mahayana tradition. Because all this essential Dhamma were not taught to them, were not really taught to them, and much less stressed upon. Teaching like the law of karma, the three evil roots, the four foundations of mindfulness, the seven factors of enlightenment, the five spiritual faculties, and the five mental hindrances, etc., the five daily reflections. They do have them because they were mentioned but never taught to them. It's unlike the Theravada tradition, where they start with all these basic teaching. How from the Four Noble Truths, the rest of the teaching, those essential Dhamma spin off from there. The Theravada Sutta have a lot of essential Dhamma teachings. That foundation of essential Dhamma is very important. When you want to build any building, you need a very strong foundation. It is from there that the whole construction can come about and become very stable. This foundation, the authentic Theravada teaching, the authentic teaching is still with the Theravada tradition. But the interpretation of it, the understanding of this essential Dhamma teaching is lacking. So to really understand them, you need those who have awakened to the higher realization, with the higher cultivation, to explain it to you. Otherwise, it's very difficult. So now you have, by now you should understand that both Theravada and Mahayana have their pros and cons. So if you know how to take in both the good aspect of each tradition, then you will stand to benefit the most, and you will progress beautifully. That's why it is very important to have an open mind, have sincerity and faith to just go this way. Then just cultivate, persevere, and don't try to know. Don't even try to argue or want to argue. No point, because right and wrong is for the egoic mind's fantasy. It's not the mind of a true cultivator. The mind of a true cultivator has to transcend duality. It has to go beyond right and wrong, me and others, because sakyaditi or self-delusion is very powerful. You have to go beyond duality, beyond form, beyond mind, to realize the nature within. Otherwise, you cannot understand all this teaching. The teaching is not abstract. It may appear abstract because you don't have the ability to comprehend it, to insight into it, to liberate the mind, because you fail to understand what you, because you fail to understand what your true mind or true nature is. You don't know how to silence your mundane mind to realize the true mind. And without that true mind, you cannot cultivate, because without silence, there is no sati. That's why sati is awareness before the knowing, before the arising of thought. When thought is active, there is no silent mind, hence no clarity to see things as they are. When there is no sati, there is no meditative mind. Then you cannot realize the true mind, your true nature. Then how can you see things as they are? This is because the delusion of your mundane mind, thinking mind, and your conditioned arising mind is so powerful. It continuously arises and causes delusion in you, developing all the self delusion to condition you to grasp, cling, and give meanings to the phenomenal world, to the five creates of form and mind, which is consciousness and is content. That's why the phenomenal world is a world of consciousness, not what you think. Then you fail to see their universal characteristics, their impermanence, their suffering state and non-self or empty nature characteristic. It is not a permanent unchanging entity. All this cannot happen because you fail to penetrate the Dhamma. That's why you are limited to thought. And through thought, you create views, opinion, knowledge, and idea, etc., which are all thought-based. It cannot lead to awakening. It cannot lead you to an understanding that is beyond thought, beyond mind, which is the true Buddha Dharma. So all this, you have to develop the understanding. Then when you understand, you will know what to do. Your focus then is very different. It's not about right and wrong anymore. It's not about debating or criticizing. Why do you want to associate yourself with a particular tradition? To be a true follower of the Buddha, or to be worthy of the Buddha, or to be called a true Dharma practitioner or a true devotee of the Buddha, you must at least understand his basic teaching and heed his advice to avoid all evil, do good and purify the mind. And that is what the teaching and the cultivation are all about. If you do that, you are cultivating the mind, training the mind to be mindful, to be constantly aware, to cultivate noble eightfold path, which is the same as avoiding all evil, do good and purifying your mind. And these are the key understanding that you need to have. Then all the other things are not important, not relevant. Then you will come to realize you are beautiful, you are at peace, you no longer have this division in your mind to cling onto any tradition. Whatever tradition comes, you can just understand. Then you can have joy, love, tranquility, and stillness of mind, clarity of mind to understand all this and explain it to those who have the condition to listen. Then you can be a true blessing to all of humanity. It will make you a true Kayanamita, cultivating with understanding. So hopefully, from now on, you all will no longer be affected by all these so-called Theravada or Mahayana or Vajrayana type of argument. They are not important. Let us rejoice. Eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, I think we can stop here. Eh? Maybe after this, we can have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Eh? Those who need to go for toilet, you can go for toilet, a 3 minutes break, then come back. We can have 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Eh? We are off the light so that you all can have your awareness-based meditation. Awareness-based meditation is very simple, like the word awareness-based, no longer using thought. You have to only remember the four support, eh? Especially the first three. Relax is the first support. Relax into every mind state that arises. When you feel any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just relax. Feel it soothingly, relax. Body and mind relax. When you can relax, you are at ease. Then after that, you just silence your mind, don't do anything. When you are silent, you are automatically aware without thought. The awareness nature is there. And you can actually develop the ability to be aware. Just silent, don't think. But initially, because you are not trained, it may not be easy. So what you do is, whatever that arises within your form and mind, whether it's a thought, it's a feeling, or it's a contact, or any sensation, just aware, finish. Aware, finish. Continue to be aware and silent. So after you are able to do that, then the mind will naturally slow down, because by being aware, you don't think. Then all this thinking will slow down, slow down, slow down, slow down. Then finally, you will realize the silent mind, the tranquility and the stillness within. You will become very quiet. Then you will become very still. Okay. Then you maintain your ability to be aware for as long as you can. There is a third support. Okay. Then the last support, which is trust, you don't do now. Only for those who have stabilized their awareness, they do. Okay, I will let you do on your own. Those who want to go for toilet break, you can go. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. And we can continue with our second session. Before our second session, I would like to mark the page. We will have page 19. Okay. So we end at page 19. Okay. Maybe I will just continue a bit more, because just now we stopped quite early. Okay, page 19, we continue. The Six Patriarch Sutra proper. Okay, so with this, I will start the actual sharing of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutra. But just now was more to explain that basically the division of Theravada, Mahayana, and Vajrayana, those divisions that happen or occur within our Buddhist fraternity is because of the old problem that were passed down from the early days until now. Whatever they evolve, especially during the time of the Buddha, 2600 years ago, where there was no writing, nothing, technology-wise, we were still very backward, no recording, nothing. So based on what is being passed down through verbal, by tradition, and in our case, luckily, Theravada was through chanting and all those things. So whatever that can be retained until nowadays is already considered not bad. But luckily, in between, there are other things that occur. Then we have this Mahayana tradition coming into being. And like I explained, they are all from the same teaching. So whether it's Theravada or Mahayana, it's basically the same teaching. Like I point out, the same essential teaching, everything is the same, the Four Noble Truths. the basic Dhamma. All these are the same. Except later on, when Mahayana came and expanded it to cover a very extensive teachings, because basically Mahayana followed the Bodhisattva way, where the training is a lot longer. That's why the teaching also has evolved and expanded very, very far. But they all spin off from basic Theravada teachings. If you understand basic Theravada teachings, you can penetrate all the Maya teachings, because they are basically essentially the same. I use the word basically and essentially the same is the essence behind is the same. What you need is to realize your true mind, your true nature. And from there, you can expand it upward until the fulfillment of the 10 perfection to be Sammasambuddha. So don't worry about what people say, how all this, what they call apparent difference come about. Technically, there is none. I use the word technically. It means if you understand, there is none. It may appear like a lot of difference, contradiction and all those things. But when you understand, actually both tradition, they are more or less seamlessly similar. And because of that, it is to prevent calamitous soul Dhamma practitioner from making the mistake of losing their focus to be involved with the division leading to argument, misunderstanding, and all the unnecessary conflicts. So all these are very negative. So if you understand, the essence is what? To heed the Buddha's advice, to train your mind to be heedful, to be aware. Then from heedfulness, everything falls into place. Then you can realize the truth, awaken to the truth. Then you will understand. When you awaken, you penetrate, you can understand. Then the words become like not really important. You start to understand words are concepts. Idea, skillful means used by living being to express something. It may point towards the truth, but it's not the truth. It's not the enlightenment. This may be the teachings that points towards the truth. You have to describe it, but the actual thing is not that thing that has been described or pointed to. Just like the example that most people give. The word tree, T-R-E-E, is just a word because English is called tree. But the tree is not that actual thing which you call a tree. So similarly, other language, Mandarin, they call it su. Pronunciation different, but it points to the same truth. So when it comes to Theravada and Mahayana, it's the same. Sometimes they use different words, different skillful means to express certain things. But you have not developed the entire understanding, you cannot understand. So avoid unnecessary misunderstanding by having an open mind. Okay, now we continue with the actual sutra sharing. Page 19. Now turn to page 272. We are at the sutra part. So this one is, we follow Master Xianhua's 6-page platform sutra. Liu Zhu Tan Jing. He has a book on it. The very thick book. We are at page 272 where we have covered 54 lessons. So the sutra say, hearing the verse, Fatan was remorseful and said, From now on, I will respect everyone. Your disciple recites the Dhamma Flower Sutta, but has not yet understood its meaning. His mind often has doubt. High Master, your wisdom is vast and great. Will you please explain the general meaning of the sutra for me? See, when you have become humble, your ego is no longer as strong as it used to be. So hearing the verse, Fata was remorseful. Remorseful means regret. And then he said, from now on, I will respect everyone. Why did he say, from now on, I will respect everyone? Anyone or anybody wants to try to answer that? Can you remember the previous Sunday sharing when he bowed? What did he do? His head did not touch the floor, isn't it? Then what happened? The sixth patriarch immediately knew and reprimanded him. Then after he was reprimanded, he came to realize that he was very egoistic with thoughts which make him think he was better than the sixth patriarch. Remember? He thought he had recited the Lotus Sutta, the other name for the Dhamma Flower Adornment Sutta, 3,000 times. So he thought his merits were far more than the sixth patriarch. But when the sixth patriarch reprimanded him and explained to him, then only he realized where he went wrong. That's why, do not arise the egoistic mind, thinking that you know better. In fact, if you have truly penetrated the Dhamma, you will have the understanding and finally come to a realization that you are nothing and you are nobody. Do you understand? I will write on the whiteboard. When you can realize this, you become beautiful. You are nothing and you are nobody. And that is basically your true nature. You are not the form and mind. So you can realize this, you are beautiful. It means you have the Dhamma. A lot of people will find this statement very strange, isn't it? If I'm nothing and I'm nobody, then who is cultivating? Who is enlightened? Do you understand? Do you want to try to answer these questions? If you are nothing and you are nobody, then who is cultivating? And who are you? Also, who gets enlightened? Then what for? Go and learn the Buddha Dharma to finally come to the understanding that you are nothing and you are nobody. But the beauty of the teaching lies there. When you are nobody and you are nothing, you are at the same time everything. Where it is not you anymore. It is the oneness nature, the oneness understanding, the sudden understanding that the form and mind was never you. That's why you are nobody, nothing. Because the form and mind was never you. You are the oneness. You are the essence. And you are the true nature, the source of all things. That's why you become very beautiful. Okay, sadhu. After Fata had this understanding, he said, your disciple recited the Dhamma Flower Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Huang Qing, but has not understood its meaning. Which means, although he had recited it 3,000 times, he still haven't got the understanding of what the sutta is. That's why he humbled himself down, lowered his ego. Then through humility, he asked, his mind often had doubt. Actually, he himself knew that he hasn't really understood. That's why he had doubt. And the doubt is a mental hindrance, one of the five mental hindrances. And then he requested nicely from Master Huining, Hi, he, Master, your wisdom is vast and great. Will you please explain the general meaning of the sutra for me? So he did not request for the full meaning of the sutra yet, but only asked for a general one. He was just contented with the general meaning, which means he realized he didn't have any understanding at all what the Lotus Sutta was all about. What he understood were just words like parroting, chanting. Then the master said, this is the part you have to understand. Dhamma penetration. The Dhamma is extremely penetrative or penetrating. But your mind does not penetrate it. So this part is very important. Yeah, this is where this Vata is using which mind? The mundane mind. That's why the Dhamma is very beautiful, according to Huining. He said, Dhamma penetration. The Dhamma is extremely penetrating, but your mind does not penetrate it. That's why you cannot understand. There is basically nothing doubtful in the sutta. So the Brahman explained, see, the sutta is complete by itself. The doubt are in your own mundane mind, thinking mind. So this mundane mind that is still deluded doesn't have the clarity and the awakening. You recite this sutta, but what do you think this teaching is? So that is the question he posed to Fatha. Then Fatha say, these students' faculty are dull and dim. And now he admit, like very child, dull and dim. Since I have recited it by Rodan, what is the meaning of this word? Is that memory? Check. And Google this word. Nobody understand this word. Oh, then Mimi check, I think. Memorize or memory. Thank you. So I have recited it by memory. All right. How can I understand this teaching? Fatha is now different. He doesn't want to argue anymore. He just humbly want to understand the teaching. The master said, I cannot read, but if you take the sutta and read it once, I can explain it to you. Isn't it strange? Well, Huineng was an illiterate. But he said, if you read it to me, I can explain it to you, just like the bhikkhuni who asked him the meaning of the word. He said, I'm an illiterate. I don't know how to read. He then said, you are an illiterate, and yet you can tell me, you can explain it to me, the teaching. How extraordinary. Then Huineng replied, understanding the teaching is not understanding the words alone. It understands the true meaning of that teaching. Because the words are concepts. Words that point towards the truth is not the truth. But if you already awaken, then from that word you can understand. It's exactly the same as what I used to share with you all. Remember? After that, person has realized he can describe his understanding in whatever manner. It may not even follow the standard textbook or the teaching. But for those who are awakened, they will understand what he said. Yes, this person has realized. He doesn't have to use the same essential Dhamma words, the scriptural description. No need. He can use his own word. Yes, the understanding is very different. It's just like the analogy I used to give to you all. Let's say you haven't been to KLCC, a famous 88-story twin tower in KL. If you were to describe it to me, what that twin tower is, and if you haven't been there before, what can you answer be? What is written in the book only, isn't it? Correct? 88 story with a link bridge in the center in KL. Highest in the world at one time when it was built. That's what you can see. Then if I ask you, have you been there? You haven't been there before. You can. If you happen to be there before, you can answer. Otherwise, you cannot. You cannot explain beyond that. But you have realized it. It's like you have been there. Then it will be easy for you to express it. Whether you have been there via LRT or you take a taxi there and you go there by bus or whatever. At least you have been there before. You would have seen certain aspect of the Twin Tower. The first thing you see if you reach the main entrance is, of course, KL Surya. Then I ask you, what do you see on the inside? Did you walk in? If you have not been there, you cannot describe. But if you have been there, you can describe. You are saying, yes, the taxi guy took me there. And I saw Surya KLCC sign. He told me that is the Twin Tower. Then I walked in, I saw the shop, the escalator. Then it took me down towards the end where there are a lot of food outlets. Then I can see many stories up. The air conditioning is very good. You can describe all that. The food outlet, you can describe them. Then the musical fountain. You can also describe it because you have been there. Everyone has been there can describe it differently because some arrive through the parking. They drive themselves down the basement parking. How they come out and how they can tell you. But everyone can be describing it differently, yet you know they have been there before. Just like those who went by LRT. They say after the LRT station, you come out, you have to clear the gate, and then you have to walk a short distance before you reach KLCC. Then you have a choice to come out or go to the mall, etc. It means that person has been there. But you must have somebody who has completely understood what KLCC is. Then only he can know. Yes, this person has been there, no matter where he described. Sorry, no matter where you describe, he knows because he already had a full understanding of the whole place. But if you have only realized just the sainthood way or what you call the Arahant way, you may realize it through your own cultivation, your own way. Then you can only describe that aspect of your realization. Then when people say, no, when I went there, it was not like that. Where got LRT? Because I straight away reached the main entrance where I went in. He only saw the part he came from. So this is in a way quite similar as an analogy so that you understand. After that, for my mind awakened, he can describe in his or her own way or using words what has been realized. The moment he or she describes, the enlightened one who had gone through the whole thing will understand. Yes, that person has been there before. Realize that awakening before. That's why he can describe it. Using his own words, even as an illiterate who doesn't have any education, he can still describe it. Can you remember what Hui Ning told the merchant who chanted the Diamond Sutta? He was curious and he asked the merchant, what was it that you are chanting? He said, then he was very amazed. He knew Hui Ning was an illiterate, a woodcutter, who didn't understand any words or anything. He was very surprised why Hui Ning asked him such a question. He said, "This is a very profound Mahayana Sutta. It's called the Diamond Sutta. How come you are interested?" So Hui Ning just told him, "When you recite to the point, the mind must have no dwelling. My mind becomes greatly awakened, like I could understand the meaning very clearly and very deeply." So this merchant knew this Hui Ning must be gifted. Then from there on, he asked him where he heard this teaching. He said it was from the fifth patriarch up in the north. Then he decided to go. He said, "Can you tell me how I can go there and meet up with this teacher or this monk so that I can learn from him?" The merchant was really excited and amazed. He said, "No problem. I can sponsor your trip and help arrange for your mother to be taken care of before you leave." When he arrived, the moment he met the fifth patriarch asked him, "Do you remember the dialogue that transpired within the two? Where are you from?" He said, "I'm from the south." The fifth patriarch replied, "Oh, a southerner, an uneducated barbarian. Then why are you here for?" He told the fifth patriarch, "I'm here to seek Buddhahood, nothing else except Buddhahood." The fifth patriarch was also surprised. "Oh, you are a southerner, a literate, and yet you want to seek Buddhahood. Do you think you stand a chance?" asked the fifth patriarch. The way Hui Ning replied was so dramatic and beautiful, because from his past, he knew. He said, "In physical form, there are north and south. But as far as the nature is concerned, Buddhahood is concerned, there is no difference. Everyone has that nature." Then the fifth patriarch already knew that this guy is gifted. So he said, okay, you talk too much. You go to the kitchen now." He straight away assigned him there. Those who have the awakening and the understanding, the moment they speak, the enlightened one will know. They will understand them. So this part, do make a note. Eh? Okay, I think we can stop here now. Okay, we'll stop here. Then we will open up for meditation reporting. And also at the same time, maybe whatever question you may have, it's a Q&A session. You can ask me any question related to the teaching or to the meditation or to the application of these teachings, so that you can apply them to help you solve your whatever life situation or problem. Okay, we open up. Anybody who wants to report meditation or ask any question or do any sharing, you can just come in on your mic, or show your sign. Anybody? Oh yeah, I remember now. Alicia said, she texted me, said she will share the next session. Maybe Alicia, are you there?
Good afternoon, Brother Tio. Okay, Amita.
Yes.
Brother Tio, 我很多的法喜。
Sorry, Brother Tio.
No problem. Go ahead, yeah, Sadhu.
因为我终于明白菩提本无树，明镜亦非台，本来无一物，何处惹尘埃。
Yeah,
因为以前本来就教六祖坛经的时候，我知道我很喜欢这个 verse， 但我不知道为什么。可是现在我终于明白，因为它是讲述我们的本性。
Yeah,
因为那个本性是本质具足，本质圆满，
yes，
能生万法，所有的一切的一切。所以我很感恩六祖慧能菩萨的开示，所以我很的法喜。该我也 pay respect 给六祖菩萨。
沙都，
所以 Radio，
就讲着就是讲着这个那天 Brad 就在 retreat 里面有讲的那个大师、
嗯、
那个 eight consciousness 啊 eight part of consciousness 我昨天我从 farm 回来我临要睡觉之前然后 suddenly 这个、
嗯、
这个 come to me like do you really understand 这个 part八种的 consciousness
yeah, eight type of consciousness
yes 所、yeah, 以、so、我就 reflect 了一下然后、
嗯、
就是那个就是说我不是真的很深入的明白、
嗯、
就是说我就讲 OK 你知道的是那个六祖坛经里面有讲的是第五跟第八世在果上缘就是说他的说就是的的 happening 就是说你讲就是简单讲就是说他修行者就是说行者要在六识跟七识上面
对、
下功夫
对对对、嗯、
啊就就我就讲所以我就 understand 那个六识本来就那天有
听
的是三亚嘛、
yeah.
哦、就是那个 perception
所
以他这个这个 perception 它就让我联想 Brad 就讲的 non-perception 就是 wisdom
啊对
因为这个六气里面、哦
嗯、
我们在那个第六识那个意里面是那个能生万法的时候嘛
所以、
我们在那个时候如果没有那个 awareness 的话、哦、我们很容易就叭叭叭叭就被抓进去了所以我们
create the wrong perception 给他骗去了
对所以我感觉到哎，原来这个又 link to 心经里面讲的色声香味那个触、那个法里面的第六的一个那个就是我们讲的那个 perception、
yeah.
所以这一切的一切那我就怎样讲它就是来一个连接一个的 understanding
对Sadhu
所以我就哇我就想哦原来是 you know 就很多的法喜因为五年前 Brazil 教六祖坛经、我都有讲过我一直 try to understand 这个所谓的
初出不容易、
对起初是不容易因为、当下我们还没有真正的知道这个 five form and mind 怎样方式
and the 正念还不 stable
对、
所以身体、
对所以连 Thursday class Brother Dio 也有讲到的是说in the seeing is just a seeing consciousness 就是那个当我们有在 subdit 里面我们就是只是一个conscious of what we see only 啦
对
我这个一这个我就全部拎在一起我就开始明白到
yes
的法的生灭然后这因缘法的一切的千变万化所以、所以我觉得哇这个真的很奥妙这个 他的 understanding 是不是你用那个
文字还是那个
thought
processor
文字的去
thought processor 不能够理解的
如果你还不知道它真正的就是说我们的 how 我们的 six sense door 怎样 function 然后怎样的去 you know 所以我不是很会讲 but Brad 就我心里感觉到很多的发现
Sadhu very good already,
我终于明白这个
对因为你好像慧能六祖讲的You penetrated the Dhamma, like 你突破了那个understanding 的话otherwise 你不能够入进那个 understanding 了 That's why the 法喜心 the joy and the whatever understanding that realize the true Dhamma that trigger of that type of special joyThat type of joy is very, very different. That type of fasi rejoicing, that joy that come from true understanding, that one is very true. It's just like in the early day, my nature was the same. After I came to understand all this, my nature really rejoiced. Then like when in, how amazing that the true nature is like that, is complete with everything. 而且不用去找呢，你就是要 realize that nature, stabilize it, then 那个正念 that awareness nature, that true nature, that stabilize it. Then realize that true mind, from there, it can penetrate the Dhamma. That's why thought-based meditation cannot do the work. You know what is thought? Thought is basically content of consciousness with its movement limited inside. It cannot see things as they are. It's not the true mind that can insight into phenomenon and awaken to its three universal characteristics. The true mind that insight or penetrate the mind is very different, but there is no word involved. It's the direct seeing. It's like you mentioned just now, the before the perception, in the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness, means the pure consciousness, the pure perception before the words, the concept, the thought come in, means that pure seeing, the direct seeing, means the pure consciousness. They're just that thing, suchness, as it is, without all those things. Without the stability of sati, mindfulness, and awareness, all these become words. People who have not realized cannot penetrate. But at least, if people who have developed some form of cultivation and have a glimpse of what this thing is, they may get an idea of it, but they're still not clear about what this thing is until they continue with their cultivation. Especially awareness-based meditation, after you have done that, like what you have gone through, then you suddenly, without anybody telling you, through your own daily life, through your own daily contemplation, reflection, all this understanding will surface. That's why last time I used to tell Song too, in the early days, technically, after you have connected to that nature, that awareness nature, you don't need a teacher actually. Well, that nature can teach you everything, can make you realize everything. Yeah. So all these are the understanding that cultivator of the way will come to understand and realize. So these are the beautiful part of cultivation, amazing aspect. That's why the Dhamma is very, very amazing and wonderful and very beautiful. In Mandarin, you all call it 真空妙有, then 很奥妙, then a lot of people who don't have the understanding, they find it so amazing, is it? 哇,这么神奇, and so wonderful. That is what Dhamma is. When you really truly penetrate it, realize and have that nature to understand it, it is really the way you describe it. It's very beautiful. Sadhu to you. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You continue, yeah, Alicia.
Yeah, Brad, you, you, 真的是太奥妙了。他,
yeah.
他就是可以拎个达玛吼, like automatically 拎这个拎这个, you know, it's like, wow, I was
yeah.
so amazed, and then I was like,
yes.
原来 you know, 以前 Bradio 讲很多很多的我都不是很明白 especially Bradio 讲的、perception is consciousness 啊
whereas it's non-perception is wisdom 啊、那个是从 Surangama Sutta 的楞严经 That's why that day the 师父、法藏师父 and 邓师兄师父 they decide to offer to us that you call it the amulet or whatever.That one is after the chanting one, Leng Yen Zhou, the Surangama mantra, after they have chanted for very, very long, because they keep all this there and let the chanting go. Then after a long period, when they need, they take out some, then they chie yuan, they offer it to cultivator all the way, devotees and all things, so that this one can create affinity with the sutta.Create affinity with the potency of that sutta. Yeah, that sutta is very powerful. Prevent 50 divine samadhi from actually becoming active. That means with that Surangama mantra or teaching, it can protect you from the maras. You will not fall to the wrong way, energy field and all those things. So these are very beautiful understanding. So hopefully all this can give faith to Kayamitas. Yeah, this is really a living Dhamma. If Alicia also can realize it and come to this understanding, what more? She went through depression for 17 years before she came, and she doesn't know about the Dhamma. When she came, she's completely like zero base. But because she went through that phase, 17 years of depression, that type of life, that's why she understand the first noble truth, like inside out. Anything that you describe about the first noble truth in reality, she can connect and link via her entire life. 17 years she was in that state of what they call negativity of mind state. That's why for her it's relatively easy to understand, because this is real life. Then she realized all these were wrong thoughts. And after she understood that they were wrong thoughts, she determined, because she saw the light at the end of the tunnel after the first class, then she know there's a way out. Somebody with that teaching, the understanding of teaching, can describe to her what she went through and how she went wrong. Then through the first two noble truths, the first noble truth of dukkha, they describe what suffering is, which she had very severely been affected for 17 years. So no need to explain that one. Everything become clear where she can recollect. And all this was so true from wrong thought because of the delusion, ignorance. So she can link. Then she determined to cultivate this teaching. That's how she started. Then the cause of arising, attachment, craving, clinging, grasping that come from sakayaditi. That's why she keep on chasing Suyan for the talk, the recording or thing. Then she keep on listening. And of course, she has some past good affinity too. Then she managed to slowly improve herself and develop the faith. Then she started to take the first few steps to attend the retreat. Then the rest is history. That's why after that, she became so different, so beautiful. Even the family members, the friends, the colleagues, whoever who had a relationship with her can see the great transformation in her. Before that, she was really, she described to us at the retreat, she confirmed it, she had no life. Understand? When she was going through the 17 years of depression, like she got no life. Everything was so negative, so miserable. Like, it's not life at all. It's just suffering, misery, wrong thought, negative thought. And the emotion, the mind that doesn't have the understanding, so entangled, so caught up with all the negativity, born of sakayaditi. That's why from that cocoon, it becomes depression. And that's how living beings get into trouble. That's why the Dhamma is very beautiful. It heals. It allows you to have the understanding. It allows you to understand life, came back your life. Then when you understand life, you know how to live life. When you know how to live life, you become beautiful. That's why all this becomes very clear, very easy. So law of karma, the noble eightfold path, the four noble, she really look at it, and one by one she go and develop it. And she also on her own read out, because she Mandarin educated. So when she read out with the basic teaching and the sharing and the understanding that I given her, the Mahayana teaching from the Mandarin version become very easy for her to understand. And the Mahayana, because the Mandarin word, she's in Mandarin educated, it stand up so clearly, you know. That's why she got a lot of Farsi singer, means the spiritual joy the spiritual joy, that type of joy born of spiritual understanding is very, very beautiful, very unique. So all this has created the causes and conditions for her to transform and become what she is today. And from now onward, she wants to give faith to Kayamita. And she will be beautiful. Her nature will actually develop because she has great affinity with a few great beings too. And she had her condition from the past too, except this segmented line, she need to go through the karmic process. And it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. Without this karmic process, she cannot meet up with me. All these are meant to be causes and conditions, my nature. So because of what happened, what unfolded, that's why I say everyone is different. And you will start to understand why this can be so beautiful. Very good. Let us all rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, Alicia.
Yeah,
Brad，continue。
其实我去 Brad 那边，我听了好多年，其实我一直听到那个字达玛达玛达玛，其实我都不知道那个达玛是怎样的升起，那个生命啊，是因缘法啊，完完全全听不懂。可是，就是说我跟我自己讲，我老老实实的学佛，就是来喏，就。能诵经就诵经，就除了听 Bradio 的 talk 就是诵经啊，you know, 在 daily 里面啊做我的 duty 啊，这样子罢了。
对，
除此以外呢，就是最主要的是每一件事情的发生哦，我就 reverse the light， 就说来看先看自己，然后自己如何的entangle 在那个处境里面，那个境里面。
Yeah.
然后从那边我就做 Dharma Vichaya so called 的
Independent
Origination 那个怎样的升起
yeah,
那个法是怎样的升起、
yeah.
对就去、去改咯
对
去
对对
去纠正就说来你为什么听了人家的一句话你就心里面就不舒服、
啊、能够这样去 stir your mind、啊、
对然后我就从我怎样的把那些听然后把它带进来放在心里面放进那个 wrong view 然后就是我自己这样子然后慢慢的一步一步的去、
yeah.
去 把我自己那个所谓的很差的很坏习惯改慢慢的
对对全部改到完
对就还改不完了 Radio 还是要
可以的
可以的
已经很好了的很厉害的yes, 因为这些东西啊是这么久以前啊 since the distant past accumulate until now not easy to root out one especially habitual tendency to be able to start rooting out is already a very very great successful cultivation but to be able to root out to the extent you have done is actually not easy one That's why a lot of cultivators, when they start, they can't. They know it's habitual tendency. Even to know that, it's not easy. Means you must have gone through the investigation, the process. Then there is nothing much they can do because the will is not there. The sincerity is not there. Like you said, you become like very determined. The will is there. Your sincerity is there. Then you just cultivate. The faith drives you and you cultivate. Then you do what you have to do. Then you persevere. That's how it comes. Otherwise, cannot. A lot of people didn't have enough willpower. Means that sincerity, that virya to go this way. Then the perseverance to let the result manifest. To allow all this to arise and happen based on understanding. That's why this is something that only those who are very committed can develop it. The Dhamma is actually very simple, but to realize realize it need a few very important requirements that I used to say, three things. First, sincerity, then the faith. Then just persevere, just do, don't try to know. Yeah. So sincerity is number one. Then after that, develop the faith to go this way. Then just do, persevere, continue to cultivate like what you did. And listen attentively, then investigate, reverse the light like you say, Hui Guang Huan Zhao. Every time you stir, you become afflicted, unhappy, like emotional. Then you ask yourself, when you reverse the light and reflect, you go inside with the awareness. You're aware. Why did I stir my mind? Then like you say, you realize it's the dwelling paticca samuppada, avijja paccaya sankhara. That's why you stir. And what is this avijja? Sakkaya ditti, self-delusion, wrong view. So you must straighten your view. So how to straighten your view? I have taught you all the five ways, especially the third and the fourth way. Yeah? The meditative approach. Aware, silent, and see it dissolve. All mind state, where they are dependent originating. When you just aware, when you don't feed it with any more negative thought energy, wrong view, then it will cease. Then when it ceases, you will know they are not intrinsic within your nature. They are actually dust that come in from outside, created by wrong view, wrong thought, delusion, ignorance. So when you understand that they are dependent originating condition arising causal phenomena, then how can they be a permanent unchanging entity? Then why did you cling onto it, grasp onto it, and say, I still have anger, I still have fear, I still have greed, I still have emotion, all these things. This is delusion. The cultivator of the way will know that all these are my states, my make, born of delusion, ignorant, created by the mundane mind, no reality. He know you, he know me. Yeah. All phenomena are empty because they have the universal characteristic. Then from there you awaken. Then the fourth way you trace the origination factor. Then you realize the six center, that six, seven, and eight consciousness that manifest like a magician creating all the illusion and the trick. Without wisdom, without right view, without awareness, mindfulness, you cannot see, you cannot understand. And because you cannot see, you cannot understand, you cannot awaken. That's why Hui Guang Huan Zhao is to reverse the light and develop the awareness to understand what is going on. Then through your inquiry, through your investigative understanding, you come to understand why you become like that. Like I said, finally, after all this training, practice, and cultivation, you will come to know who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being, how you become the way you are. All this is Dhamma. So when you understand all this, you understand yourself, you will understand others. Then when you realize you yourself don't exist, how can others exist? That's why no mark of self, no mark of others, no mark of living being. Then later on you penetrate no mark of life, existence, phenomena, everything within the conditioned world. They only exist within the conditioned world, pertain to the conditioned world, but not within the unconditioned, which is the supramundane Dhamma, the true nature. The true nature has no word, nothing, none of all this. Then all the sutta that the Mahayana were able to come up with become clear. And you develop that clear, penetrative understanding, which is so beautiful. That's why all this you can see, you can understand. It's because you follow what I share and you did it very well. Actually, you really did it very well. Very few people can do that and follow all those things. So after you penetrate and you were able to help Kanimita share, to give them faith and confidence, that is really marvelous. And my nature really rejoice. But today sharing is very deep, very, very penetrating. Today one is like the complete understanding that she has developed over the past so many years. She summarized it. Well, in the past, she didn't get the whole thing. She get bits and pieces here and there. Because that is the process you have to go through. Then when it stabilized, because it become a living reality, and you can apply it in life, then you realize it's so beautiful. Then you keep on contemplating, reflecting, investigating. So all this is what my teacher Achanyandra told me. We choose contemplate until very, very, very clear. And this is the meaning. Because without that clarity and understanding, you cannot share like today. You cannot. That's why it's very beautiful. Sadhu again, Alicia.
Sadhu. Sadhu.
Sadhu.
Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu. 然后启发我的 you know, 去 more determined 的去学习。
对对对, also to create the condition for all this activity of Dhamma to be possible, the classes and all this thing. Because without all these classes, actually it's not easy. But because of all these classes, actually, those who are sincere have the faith, they progress very fast, they penetrate very fast. Because that constant listening to the Dhamma is very important. You look at the 10 step of the Avijasta, and now you will understand already. All become very clear already. Because, like I said, all Kayamita will have the first four, at least first three. Means you have Dhamma friends. That is the first step. Then because you have Dhamma friend, you have the opportunity to constantly listening to the true Dhamma. So the constant listening to the true Dhamma, stay at a proper locality and all those things. These are very important factors. Then after that, your faith in the Triple Gem becomes unshakable. The third one also, they have already. Except maybe those who are still not strong in their faith. Yeah, I don't know. But by now, you should have very strong faith. Well, after listening to all the sharing and the explanation, you must have very strong faith. Then after that, you must develop the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. Through what? Through the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. So your second step, constant listening, is the first turning. Then reflect, contemplate, that is the work you must do. Then inquire and investigate like what you have done. That one will stabilize the fourth step. So that fourth step is very important. Then after that, you develop the stability of daily mindfulness, sati sampajana. When sati sampajana take off, step five, it becomes very powerful. Then that time, you will realize step six and seven. Means you will have the sense restraint. Means you cannot break precept, right? Then after that, the three way of right conduct you have ready. Then you will move on to step eight, which like what you can do now. The four foundation of mindfulness. You can see the paticca-samuppada, the working of the mind. So through that, step eight will lead to what they call step nine, the seven factors of enlightenment. They will keep on arising. That's why you have the fast-seizing, the spiritual joy, keep on arising. Because your sati stabilized already. So that stability of sati is very, very important. Because that is the first enlightenment factor. Yeah. So that sati will enable you to investigate the Dhamma and all those things. Then when the Dhamma stand up to investigation, you will have virya. Then virya actually will give rise to what they call piti. So the factors of enlightenment all they will surface. Then from piti you move on to paucity. Then when paucity arises, you become very different. Your paucity is the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, your true mind, your silent mind. That one you already develop. So all these enlightenment factors, they are all the time there. Then when you stabilize it, it becomes smart. Then when you develop the wisdom out of it, it becomes equanimity, bigger. That's why the seven factor they keep on arising means you are on the right path, and sooner or later, you will have the ability to awaken beautifully. Then the other thing is, you have to understand, cultivation is not that. It doesn't mean that sometimes your mind, after this all this cultivation and understanding, then certain instant, your mind still have the habitual tendency not completely rooted out yet, because it has been there for so long. Then when they arise, actually, you know what that thing is. That thing cannot take you already, cannot develop further already. That's why when it arises, sometimes at the spur of the moment, initially, like what you went through at the retreat, the small thing with Paramasriya or something, it can happen, no problem at all. But you understand straight away. Then, because this form of mind is like that, and this thing actually has been there for so long, but it's no more an avijja in the sense that because this is habitual tendency, understand? You tend to have that tendency because in the past it has been so strong. So when you straighten your view to root all this out, all this very fine one that has been like part of your that conditioning that has taken so long. It takes a long time to completely root it out. But there is no such thing as completely root it out on asana. Don't be like Sun Siu. Polish until it shines so that no dust can align. No. The main understanding is wisdom free on asana. Nothing else. So wisdom free means what? At the moment of sense experience, that wisdom, yoni somana sikara, they will come. Spontaneously, they will surface. Then when they surface, that's why it's spontaneous. Then it will prompt you, and then you have the understanding. Then you can resolve it amicably. And that is what life is all about. So all this understanding later on will fall into place. Then you will have that true understanding that the form and mind is still the form and mind, because these are the residue that still remain. So the form and mind still have all this conditioning and whatever that happens. But the wisdom part, that one prevent you from suffering, right? Prevent you from doing all those things. You can't. That's why after that, you willingly, like at the retreat, you say sorry to Paramasri if you have done anything out of that. That's why there is no more ego to like, small thing like that, also you care. No more. You just want to apologize and say you're sorry. Like if I do something wrong, I say, I'm really sorry. I don't know. Maybe whether knowingly or unknowingly that this nature of mind or this form of mind have caused you any misunderstanding or what. Well, every human being is different. You perceive it differently. You take it differently. So yeah, it caused you any unnecessary suffering or misery. My nature would like to apologize. It's you, not me. My nature can never do this anymore, but my behavior can cause you to be affected, afflicted. That one is nothing to do with my nature. That one is life, existence. We are the world every day. Things happen. Kind, compassionate, and virtuous people do things. People also comment, understand? People also blame, like the Buddha at that time. He was also accused of many things. Understand? Not? Like the Buddha said, praise and blame is one of the pair of the eight conditions. Fame and ill fame. Happiness and sorrow. Then, all the, what they call gain and loss. All this are part and parcel of the worldly condition. So they manifest within the condition world. They are for us to develop understanding, to develop the Dhamma understanding, so that this Dhamma can become a living reality. It's connected to life. It's really life itself. That's why the Heart Sutra say, when you penetrate true emptiness is wonderful existence. 真空妙有. That's why the beauty of the true Dhamma is really, really amazing and wonderful. And really very, very, I should say, fantastically beautiful and wonderful and very meaningful too. So life can become very, very beautiful, meaningful, and wonderful when you have the understanding. So do have faith. Develop the faith. Develop the sincerity. Then persevere just to cultivate. Of course, you can add in one now. The vows are very important. Vow. Make strong vow. Then determine strongly through aspiration and vows to get great beings, the Buddhas, the Bodhisattvas, to actually protect, guide, and bless your nature and your form and mind whenever it arises. Cultivate great affinity, extensive affinity, then constantly listening to the Dhamma to develop clear understanding. This is what you need. Okay, once again, let's rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Very good, Alicia.
Rajio, 还有就是我想讲一下, 不懂 Miss Lin 今天有什么分享吗?
可以啊, 你可以教他,
如, 因为如果没有的话, 我就continue。
可以, Miss Lin 有什么吗?
很好, Alicia, 你可以continue, 因为今天, 你的sharing 是, 有一个, 应该要继续下去。 可以给大家清楚一点 所以这个星期两个星期 都给机会你去分享
哇,是啊,对,是啊,对 Very good
但是我是要 要跟 Brother 讲 这次的 retreat 真的很感谢 这个 IT 的 team
对
因为 Brother 这次的 retreat 他的那个 Dharma 是很 rich 也是很 important
yeah,
而且我只是要讲一点为什么我 benefit 到
因为在第一次的时候
我还是每一次吃早餐的时候我就会听 那个 recording 那一天呢 第一次的 retreat 的时候我就也是这样的习惯去听 后来听听了 看到 brother 讲到那个 emptiness with space 的时候 不然间我就有一个强的 需要去 meditate
然后当我
meditate 的时候 我就 flow with the Dharma and 我觉得呢 那个 understanding 一直起
那么我的越自在变
一直在变 而且它 我觉得它是很广的
对,very extensive one.
Very extensive, coming from many, many perspectives.
Yeah. Many perspectives. Yeah.
Then I feel that the 那个 silence 一直沉。
对, many layers.
Many layers, 一直沉。 所以我第二天呢, 我就到一个那个时间呢, 我就 赶快吃了,break,break, 又再去做
所以每天早上就去做
retreat 然后现在呢 他就是每一天他就有自己的 contemplation 自己起的
Sadhu.
Sipan, he just created a contemplation.
Oh, Sadhu. Yeah, that is the phase you will go to do.
Very
good.
Brother Dio, 讲的是我们这个 retreat， 哎呦，真的是非常 penetrative， because
yeah， very penetrative。
Yes， 还有就是我要sort of like 恭喜 Bradio， 我们的学员都每个都有progress，
yeah，
you know?
yeah， yeah，
because 我有些
so
我那天很埋怨啊，好像 Brother Tune 还有
Jeremy
我都不在。所以
哦，你能够去听了 ，I think
听
到
放下去。对，我听回去，哇，我就哇，我有很多的发现，因为
对
哇
对对，
很难得，因为 Manuel Bird Tune 还有 Gordon，还有 Phil， 哇，我感觉到很多发现。
Even Tammy and
对，
这个 NB 的哦 ，then also 太太他们啊 ，then Poaching， a lot of them actually develop the。Further understanding, deeper understanding, and without them knowing, it has become like that. Like Tammy said, like the whole book is like a new book to her. Yeah, suddenly, that Dharma just stand out. Then, of course, like you mentioned, Anyuan, yeah, that reading help her. No, last time, people read, she cannot follow. Cannot. But this time, she read, because she loved the Dharma, and the clarity is that she has not really read it before. And the understanding now is so different. Every time she read at certain stage, I explain, then it developed a clear understanding. And this retreat, like I predicted to you all, my sharing is going to be very different because all of you have the understanding, the base already. Then when I share, because the consciousness of Kanyamita is different, and luckily, blessing in disguise, the temple, Fatan Sufu, limit us to 20 or 21. So I have to choose because Padmasri don't want to take the blame, pass to me. I say, no problem. So for me, I may use the word choose, but I don't choose, understand? The so-called decision to arrive at that one just come out like that. You can ask Padmasri. He passed me a paper, then I just recite the name that come to me. And who are they? These are people who attended the class very often, have faith. They have contributed in many ways to the way the thing has been formulated, the whole Kanyamita family and our Kayamita grouping and all those things, and also the website, and how we have grown over the years. Of course, there are some who also contributed, but because of the limitation of numbers, we have to stop that. So many things. Later, you all will come to understand how that decision come about. It's all based on causes and conditions, affinity and whatever meant to be my nature will know, and it just make the decision. Then we actually exceeded. He got 23. Then we put them on reserve. But luckily, there were some who cannot make it. Of course, for those who make it, they say lucky, because they cannot. But actually meant to be, because a few of them cannot come. So those who cannot come, they make way for those on the reserve. Actually, Tammy was on the reserve too. Then there was another one, I forgot who was also on the reserve, but they managed to make it. So all this, it will happen. Then my sharing, because of all these people who has the condition, affinity, and the base, when I developed that type of sharing, which is so different, now I went in deeper. Much deeper. The cultivation is no more just let you understand the theory. Then see how you can develop the understanding from that. Now it's not the theory anymore, beyond how you develop that cultivation, how you can realize it as a living reality. That's why everything is, you develop the stability or sati awareness, then you put it to test using that sati to investigate and all things like what Alicia they all have control. Then understand clearly the four support, the understanding of it. That's why when you are penetrated in a field, you have a deal that relax and all the things, then maintain awareness. Then when you are able to do it, then the living Dhamma will appear. Then you all can understand a lot more. This is what cultivation is all about. Like I used to hint to you all that there are so much more things that my nature understands, but I cannot share and I cannot talk about it because people are not ready. It's just like the leaves in the forest. It's a lot. But most of them are not really that relevant. They are for cultivator of the way that goes the Bodhisattva way, the further way and the sana. That's why this one is not ordinary sainthood way and all those things. So in a way you can say it's not a handful of leaves, but they are also vital for the Bodhisattva way to develop clear understanding, the vast exposure and understanding. Like just now, Miss Lee also came to know, all this is very different, it's very extensive, very vast, the training, the cultivation, not like what people think, because the awareness nature is so different. Once you go in, most people haven't even touched it, not to say go in, but once you go in, manage to stabilize that nature within, your cultivation, your transformation is completely different. It takes you into another dimension that you never experienced before. Then all the words inside the Maya Sutta suddenly become very clear, like what Alicia is going through. Then you can link, like everything is connected. Then you can link to everything in this existential world and even the supramundane, the condition beyond. So all this, they will surface and they will become very, very beautiful. So this is really beautiful. Oh, 6 o'clock, exactly. So let us rejoin. Sadhu, sadhu, yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, very good. Thank you so much.
Sadhu, Braju, hi. 讲多几句给我一分钟，Brad，你记得Tuesday class你不是有讲在后面，因为我太累了，所以我没有听到那个after 10:16的，然后我那天听回你的 sharing 说 everyone is potential brother，这个哇，我一听了之后，我在驾着车去 office 的时候，哇我。 哇，我很发喜，因为对，这个真的是令我哇很哇我很我我对对对哇一个
very powerful 的鼓励啊，which is the truth， 真的每个可以，真的有那个 ability 哦，就是你们要相信自信，have the faith。
Yeah, so Brajo, that's all for my sharing. 感恩,
okay, sadhu, sadhu. So also thank to Miss Lee for the good sharing on her part. So let us now share merit, transfer merit, then we will end the whole session. Akha Sata Chia Bhumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang tang anumoditwa jirang rakan tu loka sasana etta watta jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tina hotu sugita hontu nyatayo idang menya tina hotu Sukhita hontunya tayo, idang menya tinam hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo vasatukalena sasa sampati hitocha hito bhavatu lokocha raja bhavatu dhamiko imina punyam kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end the whole sharing. Sadhu. Thank you for your participation.